listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, Dr. James Lamb, the Executive Director Emeritus of Lutherans for Life and Director of Owens Mission. Dr. Lamb, welcome back to His Time.
Thank you very much. It's been a while.
It has been a little while. Always good to hear your voice. I enjoy our conversations and all that you do to stand up for life and to teach us about life matters as well. I'd like to share with our listeners about some writing that you recently shared. I believe this was in the South Dakota newsletter. And the topic of fatherhood and abortion. Quite often we think of abortion as an issue affecting mothers, but fathers are very much so a key part and affected by this as well. What prompted you to write about fatherhood and abortion?
Well, as you said, this is an issue that has kind of been seen as only a woman's issue. And of course, whenever there's a baby, there's a father involved as well. And when it comes to abortion, the father seems to have been forgotten sometimes. But fathers hurt too because of decisions they make or because of decisions they don't make, inability to protect their child. They struggle, they hurt, they can end up feeling guilty and despair. Just like a woman can when she realizes the reality of this so-called choice of abortion. So I wrote this. It was some years ago, actually, that I wrote the article, but I wrote it around Father's Day so that people maybe could be aware of the struggle that some fathers have because of an abortion somewhere in their past.
Whether it's a father, a man who is pressuring his wife or girlfriend to have an abortion, or regretful of his wife or girlfriend having an abortion, men are still greatly affected and sometimes a part of what leads up to an abortion.
Yes, there are really two general ways that fathers are affected. I remember some time ago talking to a young man. He called me from California. He was weeping on the phone. His girlfriend was pregnant and scheduled for an abortion the next day. And he didn't want his child to be aborted, and he was just reaching out for something that he could do. And unfortunately, I felt almost as helpless on the other end of the phone, because legally, the decision is strictly up to a woman, and the father of that child has no legal say to go to a judge and hold off the abortion. You can't do that. And my only counsel was to try to get her to a pregnancy center where someone could help her make good decisions. So there are those fathers who want to protect their child, but they can't. And so that can lead to all kinds of guilty feelings and despair. And then the other scenario is the father who pressures his girlfriend or wife, as you said, to have that abortion. He wants that problem to go away. This is going to ruin their relationship. It's going to ruin their education, their careers, and they'll offer to pay for the abortion, to drive her to the abortion facility. And then later on, you can realize, wow, that was my own child, and I put that pressure on, and I allowed my child to be killed in an abortion. And again comes this great guilt and grief because of that. So those two ways, failing to protect and then actually being active in promoting the abortion.
Why do men despair? Why could men despair from after an abortion?
Well, see, abortion is just so contrary to God's plan for fatherhood. Simply, it may be easier to understand. It certainly goes against God's law and the law of nature for a woman to have an abortion. Killing this life within her womb, the child within her womb, is just such an unnatural act. And that's why women hurt so much when they realize that. But for the father, it's just as unnatural, because it is natural for fathers to want to provide for and protect their families. That's how God built us. Adam the first father out there. He was the one in charge of taking care of the Garden of Eden. This is in paradise now. He was the one who, to ensure his future wife and family would enjoy the fruits of that garden, he was the one that God gave the command to not eat of the tree of good and evil. So he was responsible to protect his wife from that tree. And he didn't, of course, as we know. He was there with her, the scripture says, but he failed to protect. And Paul in 1 Corinthians actually gives that responsibility to Adam. So that's kind of built in. You know, the scriptures place fathers as the heads of their family to provide for them, protect them. And then when you're unable or unwilling to protect the child because of an abortion, it just strikes at the very heart of fatherhood. So it just goes against everything God wants. It goes against everything God has built into us as fathers.
What hope then is there for fathers who have neglected their vocation, who have neglected this responsibility to protect their family?
Well, that's a wonderful thing about what we do. That's a wonderful thing about our church, Lutherans for Life, because everything we do is centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that means no one ever needs to be without hope. And for those fathers, as I say in my article, there's hope for these fathers in the fatherhood of God. God loves fathers, and he is a father. He knows what it's like to be a father, and he knows what it's like to lose a son as well. John writes, I love this verse, John writes, he's talking, Jesus is talking in John 20. He says, go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So we have a Father who is God, and he is a loving and wonderful God, and he understands. And so fathers who failed to protect their children, he understands that grief and that pain. And fathers can come to him and grieve and turn to God. God is there for them. Because we live in this culture where it's really hard for men and women to grieve abortion, because so oftentimes there's no body there, there's no funeral, there's no memorial. And society says this is supposed to be a good thing, right? I mean, that's what our culture is saying, so why should you have to grieve? But God doesn't abandon fathers, doesn't abandon any of us in our grief and our struggles. Psalm 91, I quote that. I love this psalm because it starts out by describing God as this fortress. God is a fortress, and we can trust in him. And so, you know, when I think of a fortress, I think of a big castle maybe with thick stone walls. But as the psalm goes on, it describes God more as a chicken. Verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be a shield and a rampart. So this fortress, our God, is not some cold stone fortress that we have to run to and get to if we can. We have this warm, loving fortress who comes to us as we're wandering from him, as we're scattered in our grief and in our struggles. And he comes to us and wraps us up in his love and in his faithfulness. And so that's a key thing about this verse, is that we don't have to rely upon our faithfulness, but God is the one who is faithful, and he comes to us, and we can trust in that, and we can hope in that. It's a living hope that we have.
What about the father, post-abortive father, who struggles with whether or not he is forgiven for being a part of, party to that abortion?
It is so common with women and men who are post-abortive to really believe Satan's lie that, you know, Satan phrases it something like this. He says, yeah, you know, God forgives him, we know that, but not this one. I mean, look what you did. You you participated in the murder of your own child, don't think you can turn to Jesus for this one. This is the unforgivable sin. And so many women and mothers and fathers believe Satan's lie. But we know, of course, that God in Christ forgives any sin that we bring to him, any sin that we repent of. I talk in the article about the soldiers who crucified Jesus. They probably had no idea of what they were doing, this cruel execution, this holy innocence that was before them. They were doing their job, so to speak. Of course, that doesn't excuse them from their sin, but it didn't exclude them from God's forgiveness, because the first words our Lord speaks from that cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And so there's so much acceptance of the rightness of abortion in our country. There's a lot of pressure out there on women to have abortion, a lot of pressure on fathers to think, oh, this is the only way out, this is the only choice. And so they rush into this seemingly easy, quick solution without fully understanding that cruel reality. And again, that doesn't excuse the sin, not at all. But it doesn't exclude them from God's forgiveness any more than those soldiers were excluded from God's forgiveness. We confess our sins, John writes in his first letter, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, God's just as well as loving, so he has to punish sin. But that's what Jesus was all about. God sent Jesus into this world. God came into this world himself in the person of Jesus. And on that cross, he suffered that wrath, that eternal wrath that we all deserve. And all unrighteousness, he forgives, sends our sins away, he purifies. This is a word that just means a complete cleansing of all sin, all unrighteousness, including those sins we might think are just too big to be forgiven, including the sin of abortion. So there is forgiveness for fathers who participated in pressuring girlfriend, wife to have that abortion. There is forgiveness for those who feel that this sin is too big to be forgiven. I suggest that toward the end of the article, and I've done this so many times in other settings, that to seek out a pastor and ask for individual private confession and absolution. It is just such a powerful and wonderful way to share your grief, to confess your guilt and this burden, and then receive this forgiveness of God from the pastor instead of Jesus Christ himself. It's a very, very powerful tool that God has given us. I don't think we make use of it enough, but particularly, I've just seen it work so powerfully in post-abortive women and post-abortive men as well.
Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director Emeritus of Lutherans for Life and Director of Owens Mission, thanks for being our guest today on His Time.
You're very welcome. I always enjoy it and appreciate the opportunity to get this wonderful message of life, new life that we have in Jesus Christ.
Those desiring professional, confidential, and Christian counsel can contact the post-abortion hotline at Word of Hope at 888-217-8679. That's 888-217-8679. Coming up in just a little bit, more His Time, including our study of the daily New Testament reading, the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.